This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's Monday, April 18th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on this Easter Monday. Happy Easter. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. I hope every single one of you had a blessed and a joyful Easter Triduum with your family and your closest friends and a blessed Easter Sunday. It's the first time since the pandemic that we could all get together on Easter. On this Monday of the octave of Easter, we're celebrating the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is also day four of the Divine Mercy Novena in anticipation of Divine Mercy Sunday, established by St. John Paul II. You can join Father Rocky and Drew Mariani for a very special Divine Mercy Sunday presentation here on Relevant Radio at 3 p.m. this coming Sunday. Now, in his traditional Urbi et Orbi blessing on Easter Sunday, Pope Francis lamented an Easter of war as he prayed for peace in Ukraine and around the world.
Brothers and sisters, let us allow the peace of Christ to enter our lives, our homes, our countries. May there be peace for war-torn Ukraine, so sorely tried by the violence and the destruction of the cruel and senseless war into which it was dragged.
And now joining us for much more on this 54th day of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is our very own Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest this hour?
Well, John, as you had Pope Francis praying for the victims of war and speaking out for Russia to stop, we also see that Ukraine was hit in the western, relatively safe to this point, part of the country. Lviv hit by four cruise missiles early this morning that killed seven, including one child, 11 injured. Three warehouses and a tire repair center were hit, and Russia's been threatening to hit some of the areas where shipments are coming in from the west of war material to help the fighting that's especially heaviest in the east of Ukraine right now. One hopeful sign, I think, is that the number of folks returning from Poland is greater than those leaving Ukraine to head into Poland. So that's a bit of interest as well, John.
Well, we continue to unite our hearts to the Holy Father and pray for peace, something that's been on his heart for quite some time during this war in Ukraine. On another note, Boston is celebrating the 129th edition of the Boston Marathon today, 9 years to the day after the bombing.
Back to its original April date, first time since 2019, the police superintendent in Boston says there are no credible threats against the event, but urged any runner or spectator who sees anything suspicious to call 911. Last year's race, it was held in October, the year before, canceled due to the pandemic. So things kind of back on schedule here. It's been 9 years since three were killed and hundreds hurt due to those bombings.
Well, we pray that it goes as expected in Boston for the people of that city, this edition of the Boston Marathon. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, and we are continuing to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, as our Eastern Rite brothers and sisters call her, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit, especially here during this Easter season when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 11:25. Jesus the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Alleluia, Jesus the Lord is truly risen, just as he promised. His tomb is empty. Death has no more power over him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? That is the question for all of us in our hearts during this octave. Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life? And if you believe in him, that you will live forever. That's the question the Lord also asked Martha. And she responded, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. Do you believe the words of the risen Jesus in the Gospels? Jesus is speaking to you. He's calling you. He is the resurrection and the life. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say, Jesus is Lord and he is risen indeed. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, the solemnity of Easter is so great that it's celebrated for 8 days during this octave, as we've been talking about, and the Easter season is celebrated for 50 days until the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus is the reason for the season. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is celebrated by Roman Catholics and Orthodox Christians on different days this year, according to the ancient Julian calendar on April 24th. But what about the Eastern Rite Catholics united to Rome? Joining us now to discuss the meaning of the resurrection of Christ and how the Eastern Rite Catholics are celebrating the great Easter Sunday is Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, which is also the shrine of the new martyrs of Ukraine. Good morning, Father Kuzma. Happy Easter. Christ has risen.
Christ has truly risen. Good morning, John, and all you wonderful listeners.
What a joy it is to be with you today. What a blessing here on this Easter Monday.
You know, it is extremely, extremely joyful. It's the Feast of Feasts, we call it in the Eastern Church, the Resurrection. It's a great joy. It's a great victory. Life over death. Love over hatred. Truth over lies. It's a feast of love, beauty, life, all of this expressed in a magnificent way in the various services that we celebrate in the Eastern Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Churches as well, because our services are basically the same, just for a word of, you might say, explanation. The Eastern Catholic Churches, Eastern Orthodox Churches, many of the things, the celebrations we have are the same, the words, the services, our weddings, our baptisms, and so forth. However, we always obviously commemorate the Holy Father, the Pope of Rome, because obviously the Eastern Catholic Churches are in communion with the Bishop of Rome, where the Orthodox Churches are not. But when you speak about Easter, whether you talk to a Eastern Catholic priest or a Byzantine Orthodox priest, you're going to hear basically the same joy and celebration when you celebrate this feast. You know, just one thing, if I can, to understand Easter in the Eastern tradition, in the Eastern churches, you really have to partake of the divine services. It's all spoken there. The beauty, the joy, the depth of the words, the beautiful music, the songs. If I can, from one of the services that we celebrate before the resurrectional liturgy, we have the Matins, the glorious Matins, and there are several verses there that I wrote down that touched my heart. St. John Chrysostom, his famous Easter sermon, very often is proclaimed and read at the Matin service. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O Hades, is your victory? For Christ is risen, you have fallen. Christ is risen, the demons have been cast down. Christ is risen, the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, life reigns. Christ is risen, the tomb is emptied of the dead. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And another place we read, let therefore the heavens worthily rejoice, the earth be glad. The whole of creation, visible and invisible, celebrates, for truly Christ is risen, eternal, eternal joy. I wish that all of our listeners would have at least one opportunity in life to take part. And we certainly invite them to any Eastern Catholic Church, Ukrainian Catholic churches as well, because I'm a Ukrainian Catholic. But if they ever have a chance, I would welcome them immensely with open arms, because to participate and celebrate that feast day liturgically, is, for me, it's what it's all about. Obviously, the other customs, traditions, and blessing of baskets and all those things are wonderful, but the depth of the service is paramount. The joy of the resurrection reaches its peak, you might say, in the resurrectional stichiras. They're called songs towards the end of the Matin service. And listen to these words. That joy that we celebrate is imparted to all of creation, not only all people, all of creation celebrates, even our enemies. We hear these words. Listen to this. This is, you know, for me, amazing. This is the day of resurrection. Let us be enlightened in triumphal celebration and embracing one another. Let us say, brother, even to those hating us, let us forgive all things because of the resurrection. And thus let us sing, Christ is risen from the dead. By death, he has gone to death. To those in the graves, he has granted life. Embracing one another. Very often, at least in our parish, when this is sung, before COVID, the priest and I would go around and embrace everybody I could grab in church, because that's exactly what we sing, embracing one another. If there's anyone in church that I knew sort of maybe was looking at me askance, or maybe was not feeling great feelings towards me, I'd make sure that I can embrace them as well, because it is a feast of feasts. It is a feast of joy and love, forgiveness. It's all of that. Victory is only assured when love can conquer evil and hatred and bitterness and all of those negative emotions that we have.
Father Kuzma, I want to invite our listeners that they want to be part of our conversation. If you want to share what the significance of Easter and Easter Octave means for you, or you have a question for Father Kuzma, we're taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, you quoted from St. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth, those beautiful, yeah, powerful, inspirational words. Well, St. Athanasius, another great church father, said that the 50 days from the Sunday of the resurrection to Pentecost Sunday are celebrated in joy and exaltation as one feast day, indeed as one great Sunday. Your thoughts on the great Sunday that we learn about from St. Athanasius?
Are we talking about Pentecost right now, or are we talking about Easter?
We're talking about Easter, how this is like one big celebration that takes you all the way to Pentecost.
Okay. Just as we celebrate Christmas for 40 days, and we prepare for Christmas in the Eastern Church, 40-day fast, so we have 40 days of preparation, as do our Roman brothers, preparation for Easter. Then we celebrate 50 days. It's 40 days, actually, we sing this song, Christ is risen from the dead, conquering death by death. To those in the tombs he granted life. But interestingly enough, there is no kneeling in church from the resurrection to Pentecost. Obviously, they're tied together. How? Because Jesus died and rose, first of all, for us, conquers death, opens the gates of heaven, makes it possible for us to live with him. And then Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, it can't be actually separated, if you think about it. Also in the Eastern Church, you know, the gates, usually we have an icon screen. It's called iconostasis, between the sanctuary and the nave where the people sit. And it's not to separate people. It's to have all these wonderful icons that draw the people to be able to pray as they look at Lord, look at Our Lady, the various saints. And those doors are always closed, except for Bright Week. Bright Week is the week from Easter until Thomas Sunday, or Mercy Sunday. And the doors are indicative of the fact the gates of heaven have been opened. There's a popular tradition, basically, that sort of understands or likes to understand or likes to believe that anybody who dies in that week, hopefully they're in a very great state of grace, goes straight to heaven. But those royal doors are open, and we sing Christ is risen from the dead, conquering death by death. To those in the tombs, he granted life over and over. I don't know how many times, I've never counted during the Easter services, but the matins and the liturgy on Easter Day, over and over. Pentecost and Easter, you know, everything flows in the life of Christ. Everything flows in the life of the church. So I, too, especially with the connection of 50 days where you do not kneel, no kneeling. Why? Because you're rejoicing. You know, you kneel in the Eastern church because you're fasting. You know, you're asking for forgiveness. You're repenting. And Easter is joy celebration. You know, those words that I read, just real quickly again, let us be enlightened. Let us rejoice in triumphal celebration, embracing one another. Can you imagine if the whole world, even all Christians, embraced one another that Easter and throughout our lives? And we call one another brothers and sisters, even to those hating us. And let us forgive all things because of the resurrection. It's important for me because when someone dislikes me, the only thing that can give me peace personally is if I forgive them. I ask, Lord, help me to forgive this person. Help me to let go of any hurt, pain, any kind of negativity in my heart. Fill me with your joy and love for this person, because that's what our Lord does. He loves us. He might be very saddened, extremely saddened by the evil in the world that we don't love one another. But the desire to be in communion with one another, with our brothers and sisters throughout the world, is amazing. So this is very, very important for me.
Father Kuzma, just for the sake of clarity, what you call Bright Week, and today would be Bright Monday, tomorrow would be Bright Tuesday, and so on until Thomas Sunday, is what we in the Roman Rite call the octave of Easter, which culminates with Divine Mercy Sunday this coming Sunday.
Yes, Divine Mercy Sunday, although it's not an Eastern practice, you know, I'm one of those guys somewhere in between, I might say a syncretist. I personally take the best of what I consider, you know, the beautiful liturgies and services and spirituality of East and West together. In our parish, we celebrate Thomas Sunday and Mercy Sunday because, as you know, you probably have spoken about it, and Father Rocky, Andrew Mariani or whatnot, the importance of that great feast, you know, to be able to recognize more and more deeply, to experience the mercy of God, and also to learn how to trust God. So that's vitally important for me, vitally, vitally important.
Yes, indeed. We have so much in common between East and West. In fact, a lot of Roman Catholics are not aware that there's 23 different rites within the Catholic Church, including your rite, the Byzantine Rite. But every one of them are fully Catholic and united to the successor of St. Peter.
Yeah, there are 24 churches in union with one another, Catholic churches, obviously. The giant amongst these churches is the Roman Catholic or the Western Church, the Latin Church. But there are 23 other churches, Eastern churches, that are in communion with one another. They're all churches, sojuris, self-governing churches. But obviously all Catholics have what? We have our Holy Father. You might say the the successor of St. Peter, the one who is to guarantee unity in the church. We have our faith in common, the dogmas, the teachings of the church, and morality. Many other things are different, but in all the things that are important, there's unity across the board. And these 24 different churches, it would be good for people to have a chance to visit some of them. Basically, there are actually 6 rites, and various churches, the Byzantine churches, I think, comprise 14 different churches, use the Byzantine rite. The liturgy, the spirituality, the approach to theology. Because although we believe the same things, you know, the approach might be different in any particular. For example, we make the sign of the cross 3 times. Why? In honor of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. The Roman Catholic Church makes the sign of the cross once because of the unity. The 3 persons are united. Eastern Church underlines, or you might say emphasizes, the fact that there are three persons in relationship with one another. When people come up to Holy Communion in the Eastern Church, we say the servant of God, John, or Mary, or Tom, or Dick, receives the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins for life everlasting. Amen. It's a very, very much we underline the personal aspect of our faith with Christ and then with one another.
Father Kuzma, we could do a whole series, and maybe we will, talking about so much of what the Eastern Rites, the Byzantine Rite, believe and how they practice. I find it fascinating. I've had the joy of being able to go to the Eastern Rite liturgy, the Divine Liturgy at your church. But in the final moments that we have, I wanted you to talk about the importance of the truth of the resurrection. Jesus is Lord. He is risen. This is the central theme to all the rites, the central theme and the preaching of the apostles that has been passed on from generation to generation.
If I can just maybe, if you give me permission to quote, there's many, many spiritual authors that I love to read. And when I contemplated the words, Christ is risen from the dead, conquering death by death, I came across this one meditation, a particular priest who believes he hears the words of our Lord speaking to him. If I could just read this real quickly to share with our listeners, because it really gets at the heart of the resurrection. And the words that Jesus spoke to this priest, or the priest believes so, his bishop also believes that this is of the Lord. Only love heals, only love liberates, only love redeems. By bringing love into the depths of my passion, by putting all the bitterness and hatred of sin expressed in my sufferings in contact with my love, I redeemed the world. I atoned for sin. I restore to my Father the glory that is due him from the creatures whom he created to bless him and fill the world with the sound of his praises. The redemption is the work of love. I loved in the face of hatred. I loved in the face of death. I loved even in another world, in Hades, where the just of the ages awaited my coming amongst them. It is by love that I triumphed over death, by love that I undid what Satan and his envy had plotted against the creature whom I so loved, whom my Father destined for the praise of his glory. Love is not a feeling. It is an act of the will, a movement of the heart, a glance of hope directed to my Father. For where there is love, there is confidence. And where there is confidence, the victory of love is assured. And let's say that again. Easter, the victory of love is assured. The victory of truth is assured. The victory of life and love and joy and beauty and holiness are all assured. That's very central to my way of looking at life. For me, it's all about love because, as St. John says, God is love, and we were created to be filled with love and then to share that love with everyone that we might meet. So let's do that just for today. If we can say at the beginning of this day, Lord, help me to love every person I meet, especially if they're a little difficult for me to love. Fill me with your grace, with your love. Help me to see them as my brother.
Father Kuzma, Christ is risen. Christos Volkris. I so much appreciate you being with us.
Christos Anesti. Alitos Anesti.
Thank you, Father Kuzma. Father Mikhailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, who will share with us five ways to be a better Catholic evangelist. So stay with us. There's much more conversation to come as Morning Air continues after this short time out. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for being with us on this Easter Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're celebrating during this octave this week and for the next 50 days during the Easter season, Christ commissioned his disciples, as we read in chapter 28 of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. What do these words of Christ mean to the average Catholic? Do you know that nearly half of practicing Christian millennials believe that evangelism, that is sharing the gospel, is wrong? What could we do to reach the world with the gospel? Is it a matter of greater missionary zeal, or is there more to it than that? Joining us now live from College Station, Texas, is Marcel Lejeune to talk about five ways to be a better Catholic evangelist. Marcel is the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostolate that works with Catholic leaders to form missionary disciples who then in turn make missionary disciples themselves. Good morning, Marcel. Happy Easter. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's a joy to be with you once again here on this Easter Monday.
Yeah, good morning and happy Easter. It's pretty amazing that, you know, you stop and do your Lenten observance and then boom, it's over. Jesus is risen. I'm guessing the apostles felt something way bigger than what that is, though.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're supposed to be filled with joy and excited about sharing our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why in the world do so many young people especially think that evangelizing is somehow wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's because the culture has evangelized them better than the Christian faith has. A lot of young people who were raised Christian are raised really in what we could call nominally Christian homes. So they have an identity that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but they've never really had encounters with the Lord. And they don't have a deep and abiding prayer that is going on every day. And so they once in a while will do something with a Christian group or go to church. And they have this identity or this culture from a family identity, and that's where it comes from. So the culture, the wider secular culture, has really got more influence in their lives than Christianity does. And so what's happened is that this ethos that runs through our culture that you're not supposed to push your faith on other people. That's really kind of the ethos of today, you know, that Christians are tolerable as long as we remain in the background and we're not pushy about things, right? And this has entered into the Christian church. I mean, you think about it, most Catholics, most Christians, period, don't share their faith, not in the West at least. They don't explicitly talk about Jesus Christ. They don't naturally and organically steer a conversation to faith issues. In fact, they might steer it away from faith issues. And so the younger people nowadays, with all of this stuff, the way that Christians operate and the wider culture operates, have now absorbed it to such a point that they think that sharing their faith, evangelism, is wrong. Not just that it's not good, but they think it's morally wrong, more than half of them. So this was a stunning study that came out a couple of years ago. But what it proved is that we Catholics and other Christians have really not imbued within our younger culture, and that means we haven't done it with older culture generations either. We haven't imbued within our people the necessity that sharing our faith is actually something that is integral to being a good disciple of Jesus Christ. We've lost, in other words, kind of the heart of what it means to be a Catholic.
Marcel, how do you reconcile the words of our Lord Jesus that I just shared here in the intro, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations? These are the words of the Savior. How do you reconcile that command from our Lord with this mentality of you don't want to push your faith on anybody?
Yeah, I think what it is I don't think people really are wrestling with that, John. So what? Here's the thing is, if I'm Jesus Christ, and I've just resurrected from the tomb, and I've walked around for, you know, weeks, And the last thing I want to tell somebody before I go up into heaven, I'm going to tell them the most important thing I could possibly tell them at that point, right? Okay, remember, guys, this one thing. And then, boom, I'm up in heaven. This is Jesus Christ. This is his mission statement to the church. And in fact, we call it the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. This is the job. This is the mission statement for all of Christianity. This is what we exist for. This is Paul VI said that. They said the church exists in order to evangelize. There is nothing more important that God wanted to tell the church than we exist in order to go and make disciples. So if that's the case, there is no reconciling it with the fact that so many people don't want to evangelize. What we have to do is we have to start to say, okay, what do we do about it from here on out? Which means we really have to start to help people to have experiences with Jesus Christ themselves, right? Have these encounters and conversions where they intentionally choose to say, I believe. This is what faith is. Faith is an act of the will in response to God's grace. So God acts first. He gives us his grace, right? And that grace can save us, but it doesn't save us without our yes. Just like Mary gave her fiat, right? And she said yes. She said that, let it be done to me according to your word. And so Jesus waits on us to say yes. And that yes is necessary. But he also, it's not just from there do we stop giving our yes. Our yes also has to be in response to yes, I'm going to talk about my faith. Yes, I'm going to share my faith. Yes, I'm going to make invitations. Yes, I'm going to be the one who goes out there and takes a little bit of a risk to talk about something that sometimes I can be uncomfortable doing, but I'm going to do it because I know it's the right thing to do. And I think, so I don't know that the two can be reconciled.
You know, Marcel, when I think of like certain Hollywood movies, that people get all excited about, they want to tell everybody they know about the movies. Like, oh, you got to go see, I remember years ago, everybody wanted to go see the Titanic movie, for example, and they're telling everybody and they're sharing about it. Well, we need to have that same kind of zeal. And I think there's something that we can learn about sharing Christ from our Jehovah Witnesses and Mormon brothers and sisters, because some of these people are, I wish we had a little bit of that fire. They're knocking on doors on a Saturday morning, and walking around with their Bible, and they're trying in their own respective way to share what they understand to be the faith. If we only had one tenth of that zeal as Catholics.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have, let's remember, we do have Catholics that do things like door-to-door evangelism. We do have people who go and evangelize on street corners. And, I've done some of this stuff before, and it's a little bit scary the first time. But that's more of the extraordinary stuff, right? Not everybody's going to be called to that, and that's okay. But you're right, we do need a little bit more zeal. But what we need to also do is, before we get to that point, is not just see it as an obligation, right? Not just see it as an obligation. The reason why we want to go share our faith is because I've fallen in love with Jesus Christ. I believe he's the way to salvation for the world, and I want to share that with other people out of love for God and others, and out of that belief. If that's our motivation, why wouldn't we do it? In other words, why aren't we sharing our faith if we believe there is a heaven, if we believe there's a hell? Why would we not tell people about that? Isn't that the most important thing in the world? Because if Jesus is the path to get to heaven and not go to hell, then we should share that because we love people, because we care about them, because we want what's good for them. Now, if we don't believe in heaven, or if we believe all you got to do is be a pretty good person to get there, then of course we're not going to share that. So it starts with a right belief. It starts with knowing Jesus Christ, and it starts with love. And if we have those things, then we have the right motivation, and we'll go do it. But we might also need a little bit of oomph, right? A little bit of a reminder. This is not something, and now all of us do it, right? I mean, I've gone and trained nuns for days on how to evangelize, and then, or priests. And then I get on a plane, and I'm really tired and worn out because I spent several days training folks on how to evangelize properly. And I get this little inkling in the back of my mind, hey, you should talk to this person and try to strike up a conversation. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I just want to put on my Bose noise-canceling headphones and go to sleep, right? I mean, just leave me alone. So we all have that kind of in the background saying, I don't necessarily want to do this. But that's not the voice of God. That's not the voice of our conscience. That's the voice of the enemy telling us it's not good to do this, and we shouldn't listen to that voice.
Well, Marcel, I know that you've been thinking about this idea of how to be a better evangelist. You've even written about it, and I'd like to go over these five suggestions that you have on how we can become a better evangelist. But first, we need to take a short break. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share your own experience of sharing the gospel, of really being on fire, of being in love with our Lord Jesus Christ and sharing your faith, or if you have a comment or question for Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. We're taking your calls this morning. We're talking about being a Catholic evangelist at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break, but we'll continue our conversation with Marcel Lejeune. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side. This is Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Happy Easter once again. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Easter Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue talking about evangelizing, how to be a better Catholic evangelist with our regular contributor, Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. If you want to be part of our conversation, you can give us a call. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. Marcel, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm fascinated by your five ways to be a better evangelist. The first one, to me, seems kind of counterintuitive, but I can understand your point. Stop inviting non-Catholics to Mass.
Yeah, so let me tell you something. This one gets people in an uproar when I say it. So let me explain. Stop inviting non-Catholics to Mass. And I would also add, stop inviting Catholics who aren't participating in their faith to Mass. And the reason why I'm going to is this, okay? If you're a non-Catholic, let's just say that you're somebody who once in a while goes to a Methodist church, and you invite that person to Mass. They're going to walk in. They're probably going to feel awkward. And let's be honest, most Catholic parishes are not the most welcoming churches that are out there. They're probably going to feel a better welcome at a small little Baptist church down the road. They're going to feel awkward because they don't know what to do. They, you know, they feel out of place because we're standing up and they don't know to stand, and we're saying these prayers and they don't know the responses. And it's not a good place to talk. It's not a good place to visit. It's just a place that's going to make them feel awkward, not a place. Now, they might have an experience of, you know, worshiping God that is very otherworldly in a sense. That can happen. Don't get me wrong. But for most people, it's a feeling of awkwardness. The better thing to do before you invite them to Mass is to invite them over to your house for dinner, to invite them out for a cup of coffee or a beer. In other words, really grow the relationship, really get to know them, pique their curiosity in why you're Catholic. Start to have important discussions about religion. And then when you start to see an open door to, you know, why do you Catholics do that? You might explain the Mass to them and those kind of things. And if they say something like, I'd really love to experience that, that's when you invite them to Mass. And the reason why you don't invite somebody who's not a practicing Catholic is because they shouldn't receive the Eucharist, right? If they haven't been to Mass in a long time, they're supposed to go to confession before they go back to the Eucharist. And that can also just cause issues. So these are why what I think is the better way to go forward is to invite somebody to something else. Invite them to lunch. Talk to them. Get in an informal setting. Become a better friend. And get interested in them and get to know them. And then that leads to the next step. It's not where you stop. It's just that's where you start.
And your second suggestion is to stop treating others as evangelization projects and more as people that you love. Why is that so important?
You know, have you ever had somebody come to your front door, you know, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon?
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, did you ever feel real loved by them, or did you feel like, oh gosh, you know? So most people, again, are kind of like, oh gosh, I'm annoyed that somebody has come to talk to my front door to talk to me about this. Now, I'm the kind of guy who literally will say, oh, I'm super excited because somebody's come to my door to talk about God, and I'm going to take the time out of my day to make this conversation happen. But that, I'm not the average person in that sense. You know, I'm a little abnormal that way. So if you take the average person, though, they start to feel like, well, they're just trying to use me. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to avoid somebody having that feeling. I remember that feeling when I was on campus, when I was a college student. This was 30-something years ago. You know, and the pretty young girl plops her tray down in front of me and says, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Well, I was excited the pretty young girl plopped her tray down until she said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Now, that's not a terrible question. The problem is the context of the discussion, right? If she sat down and started to get to know me and tried to have a conversation with me and showed interest with me, and then after a couple of months of being a friend to me, asked that question, completely different context, right? So that's what we don't want to do. We want to treat people as people that we love rather than just projects. We don't want to have to just, you know, do our job and get out of there. That's a project. We want to love them, and we want to enter into life with them.
And we also want to know that there's a time and a place to answer objections or get involved in apologetical discussions. You got to be able to really read the person and probably ask a lot of good questions as well, instead of just sharing the faith without them necessarily be ready.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you have Patrick Madrid, who's one of the great Catholic apologists on Relevant Radio. Patrick is somebody who could tell you all the different arguments, you know, and I've known Patrick for a while now, and he's a great Catholic apologist. But Patrick will tell you as well, you have to use the argument appropriately, right? It's not just a single tool in which we bang somebody over the head with the right doctrine or the right argument for Catholicism. We have to know the time and the place to be able to do that. And so apologetics is a useful tool when used appropriately, and that's what we want to do. We just don't want to come in and try to argue somebody into the faith all the time. Some people aren't wanting that. Some people want deep relationship. Well, everybody wants a relationship. Some people want, you know, different things. And so we have to identify what it is that it, you know, that may be. And when we hit that roadblock where there is a doctrinal argument that needs to be made, or, you know, something that's in the way that somebody believes that is incorrect, and we can do an appropriate apologetic argument in order to remove that obstacle, that's when we do that.
Absolutely. Joy is joining us from Southern California. Joy, happy Easter. Thanks for calling.
Happy Easter, gentlemen. He is risen indeed. I love this discussion this morning. I'm a Catholic convert, been a Catholic for about 22 years. And what I have discovered is that people are hungry for truth. And what I created was a little tiny Catholic evangelical card, which I hand out to everyone I meet at the gas station. And I just ask them a simple question. I say, hey, thanks so much for your service. I got something for you. And it's a little card, his website to visit. And I have a quote by St. Augustine, the God who made you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation. I said, we're all needing to have more hope. And that nobody has ever not taken one. And I have Kathy's Come Home. I have Relevant Radio on here, Facts, Dating Tips. They're all Catholic websites, therealpresence.org, Miracle, free iPhone apps, Relevant Radio. Everyone takes it. I was at the gas station the other day, and there was a woman there that she was looking a little down. I said, what are you doing for Easter? She said, I'm going to Disneyland. I said, oh, that's the happiest place on earth. I said, it's not. I said, putting Jesus first and going to Mass is the happiest place on earth. She goes, yeah, I need to go. Well, I ended up having a 15-minute conversation, giving her all kinds of pamphlets. She needs to come back to faith. And it was such a joy to just be present, let God use me. I wasn't going in there thinking that I was going to evangelize. I just looked at her heart. She looked down in the dump. And I said, well, what can I share? I said, you know, we have Easter's here, and she's going to start going back to church. So I gave her information, went to my car, and I hope she does. I know that we can't always be there 100%, but if you just come with joy and enthusiasm and let the Holy Spirit work, just, I'm Johnny Appleseed.
Great point, Joy. Thanks so much. Marcel, your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, perfect name for the Easter season, right? Joy, Easter Joy. Thank you for sharing that. And I'll, you know, it leads actually to one of my other points is that we need to ask more questions of others than they ask of us, right? And that's what you're doing. You're asking people, hey, you want this card? Or, hey, you know, have you thought about going back to Mass? Hey, do you? These are the kind of things that start to get people to think when you ask them questions. And then you can also get to know somebody better because people want others to be interested in them, right? And you're showing an interest in other people, and you're sharing your faith with your zeal and your joy. That's exactly what we need, is more people like you. So thank you for sharing your faith. And the other thing is this, we don't have to have a perfect technique to be able to be good evangelists. We don't have to have a perfect technique. Don't wait to be perfectly knowledgeable or have the right strategy to go out there and just talk, because God's going to do the heavy lifting anyway.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to believe.
We got to leave it right there. Marcel, happy Easter. Thanks so much for your insights. I really appreciate it.
God bless everybody. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Pizza for Easter Dinner by Justine Bojan. My family and I spent Holy Week and Easter in California this year. Our flight home was late in the afternoon on Easter Sunday, so we were able to enjoy most of the day in beautiful weather. Before we headed to the airports, we were deciding where to eat our Easter dinner. For some reason, I really felt like going for pizza, which was a bit odd because we'd just eaten pizza a couple days before, and after all, it was Easter Sunday. Who chooses pizza for their Easter dinner? Not sure what Bill would think of the idea. I brought it up, although not his first choice, he agreed. So off we went to Sammy's Woodfire Pizza. We all thought it was the type of place that made individual-sized pizzas, and serving as our main meal, we each ordered a separate pizza. Well, they were much bigger than expected, and lo and behold, Caitlin and I each only ate half of our respective pizzas. We didn't know if we'd be able to bring them through security at the airports. It would have been a shame to waste an extra entire pizza, so we had it boxed up in a handy-dandy pizza box. Then we headed toward the airport, when the idea came to me that, well, if we passed a homeless person, we should offer it to him or her. We drove on the highway for most of the trip, then exited in downtown San Diego, where we were in a long line of traffic leading to a stoplight. In the distance stood a man that looked homeless and was carrying a cardboard sign. As we inched a little closer, I could make out the word pizza in bold black marker and thought to myself, seems odd a pizza place would have a homeless man advertising for them. Then we got a little closer and I realized the sign actually read, Dreaming of a Slice of Pizza. Why, we had a pizza, a whole pizza. And we pulled over toward him and I lowered my window and said, we have a whole box of pizza. Do you want it? And with the biggest grin and giddiest voice, he said, heck yeah, thank you. Happy Easter. And we said, happy Easter. We hope you enjoy it. He took the box from me, walked to claim his belongings and bike, and off he rode with happiness written all over him. What a beautiful, close moment for all of us in the car. We saw God orchestrate this gift to this man, and not only did he provide a slice of pizza, in his abundance, he gave him a whole pizza. How cool is that? So pizza for Easter dinner? Yes, indeed. Acts 4:32 reminds us that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they all shared everything they had.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I so much appreciate it. I'll take my pizza with a little pepperoni, and that'll do it on this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. I also want to remind you that you need to continue to pray for peace. We all need to continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary of Father Aki and the Family Rosary across America at 7 p.m. Central tonight. And pray the Divine Mercy Novena during the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. on the Drew Mariani Show. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Do not be afraid. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.